Good morning, everybody. My name's Ben. If we haven't met before, I'm one of the pastors here, and it is good to be gathered together on not weather I think many of us were expecting on Palm Sunday. Very windy, a little bit cold, somewhat smoky. That's for me as an Oklahoman and then having lived in California for 4 years, this is not quite Palm Sunday weather. Is this normal? I've been here for 4 years now, too. Is this?
No, there is no normal,
of course. Why did I insist on having a normal in Kansas weather? But anyways. Well, before we get into the sermon, I want to update you on a prayer request that has been going out. You may have heard it came over our prayer request line yesterday that Ken Bartell has did have surgery this morning. He had two hernias. I just got off the line with Ann before the service started. He is doing all right. He is in recovery. They were able to get one of them, but not the other. The other one was not the symptomatic one. They may need to address that later, but they took care of what was what landed him in the ER. He is in recovery, and they are hoping to go home tonight. So please be praying. We all know the recovery process is not, the surgery begins the recovery process. It is not done until the recovery process has completed. So be praying for Ken and Ann. They have work yet to do to make sure that he gets back up and healthy. But let's pray for them right now. We don't do this often. Are there any other prayer requests that we can be praying for as a community right now that you would want to share? No worries if they're not. I just wanted to offer. Let's pray. Let's go to God and let's pray to Him. God Almighty, You are good. And we put our faith in You. Every day that we come to church, every day that we live, we put our faith in You. And we know that Ken and Ann are putting their faith in You right now. We are grateful for the good report on Ken's surgery, that things seem to have gone pretty well. They were able to get what was causing him problems. We pray for their recovery, that You would take care of Ken, that You would give Ann strength to help Ken as he recovers, as there are a couple of limitations placed on him with this hernia surgery. Just take care of them. Take care of us. Help us encounter You this Palm Sunday. Help us to dive deeper into relationship with You, because that is what we want. That is why we're here. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We are wrapping up our Wandering in the Wilderness series. I'll see if I can... There we go. We're wrapping up our Wandering in the Wilderness series, where we have been talking about what it looks like to live in a wilderness season. And I hope this series has been good for you as we've connected with God's people in their various times and stories of how the people of God have lived out life in the wilderness. We recognize that most often we aren't in the literal wilderness, but maybe we're in a place that is dry or barren or isolated or harsh. We also recognize we don't just live isolated lives. We live lives in connection with other people. We are connected here. If you have come here today, if you are watching us online, you are connected to other people as part of a church family, right? You are connected. We live our lives connected. And even though there are times in our life that feel isolating, that feel like they are keeping us apart, we exist as connected people. And I think something that our world has discovered in the last couple of years is it is really hard to go from a season of somewhat isolation, of being separated apart, and then coming back together, right? The reconnecting, that can be a difficult time. When we go through a crucible, through a trying time, getting back to whatever normal is, when we've been out in the wild and come back to civilization, that can be hard. But there is something that does not change throughout all of that. It doesn't change whether we're out in the wild or whether we're going through a difficult time or whether we're going through normal seasons of life. Something doesn't change, and that is our purpose. And as always, it seems, as always, Jesus is our prime example. So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 21. We're going to take a look at what happened to Jesus in Matthew chapter 21. I can put this up on the screen here. I can't for those of us watching online. There are copyright issues going, and I just couldn't find. But Jesus, in this set of verses, is traveling from Jericho to Jerusalem. It is about 25 kilometers away. So you carry the three, and I think that's about 15 and a half miles. Engineers, surveyors, is that about right? 25 kilometers, 15 and a half miles?
Yeah.
Sure, right?
Yeah. I don't do math on Sundays.
No math on Sundays. You take a Sabbath break from it. Amen. It's a good policy. But it is about 15 and a half miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. And it is uphill because Jericho is down by the Jordan River and also a little bit close to the Dead Sea, which is the lowest place on earth. And then you go to Jerusalem, it's literally uphill. You ascend to Jerusalem. So Jesus is walking uphill from Jericho to Jerusalem through the wilderness about to get to the city. And he arrives at this tiny town on the outskirts, on the west side of town, and we will read what happens. I'm going to be in Matthew 21. We're going to go 1 through 11. Let me grab my Bible, and let's read this together. Patrick and Robert, I'll let you guys run the slides. Matthew 21. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. "Go to the village over there," he said. "As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will immediately let you take them." This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, "Tell the people of Jerusalem, 'Look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt.'" The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and colt to him, and they threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven." The entire city of Jerusalem was in uproar as he entered. "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." What a beautiful moment to be a part of. Palm Sunday, that's why we were waving palm branches around. If you didn't grow up in church, or maybe you weren't sure of what the tradition, why do we wave palm branches? We wave them, we celebrate today because this is what's known as the triumphal entry. This is the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem and everyone proclaimed correctly that he is the coming Lord. I missed it later, but this is a beautiful moment in time that we have. And I want to go through it with us piece by piece together. So let's take a look. Jesus gets to the outskirts on the west side of town. It's the west side of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is poised for a celebration. The only thing that I could think of it like New York City right before New Year's Eve, right? There are people that are flooding in from everywhere, not just people that are from New York City. There are people that come in from everywhere for that celebration, right? I'm sure there are others. For those of us that maybe have more Mennonite roots, think of Hillsboro and the Arts and Crafts Fair. It's like a town of, what, 3,000 and 15,000 people just flood in, right? It is this time when a lot of people from varying outskirts came in to celebrate. That's what's going on with Jerusalem right here. There are people from everywhere, and Jesus arrives on the west fringe of the city. And we've talked about this before. Jesus knows what's coming this week. Jesus is not going to be surprised. Jesus has been talking about his coming death. He talked about it in Matthew chapter 20. He's going to talk about it through the next couple of chapters. He understands that this week will culminate, will end with him dying. Then we get to Easter Sunday, right? And we celebrate how that was not the last word. But Jesus knows what this week will mean. But he goes into Jerusalem anyways. He sends a couple of people ahead to secure his transportation. Not some, you know, like political bus or Air Force One or anything like that. He tells them, go get a donkey's colt. A donkey and its colt. He does this. This actually fulfills prophecy. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble. Riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. Zechariah is predicting this day when the king, the true king, the king of kings, will be celebrated coming into Israel, because it's going to mean some great things. Zechariah talks about how God will use this opportunity. He will destroy weapons of war, that people will be freed from captivity, that there will be peace in the land. That's what Zechariah talks about in chapter 9 here. And Zechariah was exactly right, but maybe in a way that was a little unexpected from the people of his time. Because the purpose that drove Jesus to Jerusalem was to defeat the weapons of war, but not the weapons of war of us human beings, but of the enemy, the accuser, Satan. Jesus came to Jerusalem to free people from captivity. Not that we don't have to ever pay attention to authority anymore. We here in the modern world, we recognize there are still authorities over us. But Jesus came to free us from the power of sin and death, that we are no longer captive to sin, but we are alive and free in Christ. Jesus came to Jerusalem with a purpose. He came with a purpose. It was to seek and save the lost, which is all of us. Whether you have been going to church from the time you were a wee little kid, or whether this is the first time that you've ever darkened the door of a church in decades, we are all the people that Jesus came to save. He had his purpose. And everything he did that week, everything he did this week that we're entering is called Holy Week. Everything he did in Holy Week showed his purpose. Even the triumphal entry, even how he entered the city. I can't remember if I've shared this before here. I don't think I have, because I just learned it a couple of years ago myself. But Jesus came in from the west side of Jerusalem. There would have been another parade around this same time that would have entered from the east side of Jerusalem. We don't have the exact dates. We don't have the flyers that they would have passed out. Probably wouldn't have passed out many flyers for this. But we don't have the flyers or the exact dates that it would have happened. But it would have happened this week. Sometime, there would have been another parade, very different from Jesus's. Because the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, would have come in. Jerusalem was in an occupied territory. And Jerusalem was celebrating a religious holiday that talked about the time when Israel were captives and how God helped them become free. Pontius Pilate, as the governing authority of the occupying Roman Empire, he probably clued in to the fact that, hey, this is a big deal. I need to be in Jerusalem. Because where he came from, he was not usually somebody that was in Jerusalem. But Pontius Pilate showed up there. He came to be present to remind the people of Israel that, the Roman Empire, they were in charge. He came in riding this magnificent war horse. And he would have been based up here in Caesarea. He would have come, which is on the Mediterranean Sea, he would have come south. And the only way to get into Jerusalem, from what I understand, the research I've done, he would have had to enter from the east, completely opposite of what Jesus did. He would have gone south and come in from the east, and he would have come in on this massive war horse. He would have arrived as a conqueror with all the Roman legions that would have come along too. The Roman soldiers, they would have come en masse as a show of force to intimidate, to remind the people of Jerusalem, hey, we're the ones that are actually in charge here. You need to remember, we are in charge, whatever your religious festival may say. Compare that with Jesus entering on the west side of town. Entering on a donkey, this symbol of humility. See, here's the thing though. Jesus came to conquer as well, right? That's what we're declaring. Jesus came to conquer as well, just not conquer flesh and blood. He didn't come to fight flesh and blood. He came to beat the crud out of death. He came to take down sin, to free us from all of Satan's lures of pride and greed and anger and all the other traps and snares that are set out for us that so easily entangle us. Jesus entered Jerusalem with purpose. Everything Jesus did that week, he had you could see his purpose in, whether it was flipping over tables at the temple, cleaning out the temple, whether it was cursing fig trees of all things. Whatever Jesus did, he did with purpose, even how he entered. And so it was right that the people of Jerusalem said, "Praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven." Jesus did things with purpose. And I think it's fair for us to ask today, are we living our lives with purpose? Are we living out our Christian faith with a purpose? Because Jesus came from the wilderness back to the heart of civilization, but his purpose didn't change. It remained unchanged. Everything he did furthered that purpose, whether he was preaching, teaching, healing, connecting with people, even in his resting, where he was reconnecting with God, where he was furthering that relationship with the Father. Whatever Jesus did, he did it for the purpose of helping people come to know him and saving us all. I want to be a person that is more like Jesus. I want to live my life with purpose. And I think all of us that are in here, we want to do that too, right? You guys know that I have a couple of hobbies that I cycle through. That's no secret. It's disc golf. Cycling is my current hobby, and who knows what it's going to be next year. I have no clue. Caitlin's hoping for something inexpensive. I'm thinking about getting back to scuba diving, but we'll have to talk through that. But you guys know I enjoy riding my bicycle. I'm actually really proud of this. I'm going to take just a second here. I wish Christy Shutter was here. She is speaking at a conference down in Wichita, and we are glad and grateful that she has been able to participate, share some of her story there, and do good things. But I've been pestering her all week, saying, look at what I can do. I can take a full photo, and I can remove the background now, and this is all transparent, and it shows up cool online. And anyways, that serves no purpose other than me getting to brag about it a little bit. We'll do. Thank you. I learned a tech thing, and I clicked like three buttons, and that was it. But anyways. Yes. Wait, is this me? Yeah, this is me. Yeah, That photo was taken yesterday. Who whistled? Anyways. But you know I like biking, right? That is not a secret. I'm hoping I can bike in the first 2 days of this week and avoid some of those high gas prices. But my birthday was this week, and my parents, knowing that I enjoyed biking, they got me something for my exploits. This little Garmin cycling computer. It's pretty tiny. It's got some things on it that are pretty cool. It tells me how fast I'm going, and if I make a wrong turn, and if there's a climb on my route, how high up the climb am I? And it does a couple of pretty cool things. But one of the things I am most excited about is it comes with training plans put in it. One of my goals this year is to ride an Imperial Century. That's 100 miles in one day, pretty much in one sitting. Like you take a couple of breaks, but you ride 100 miles. Last time I did it, I think it took me 8 hours total. About 6.5 of that was actually on the bike. That is one of my goals. But this little computer is actually going to help me get further there. Because if I get on my bike and I just ride as fast as I can, I just, you know, go ripping down K4 and just pedal as hard as I can all the time, it is actually counterproductive to me being able to ride a full 100-mile century. If I just do that every time and try and ride as quick as I can, it will not work, and it will actually take away from my ability to do what I am trying. It will take away from my purpose if I don't train with purpose. It will hurt my end goal. I need to ride with purpose. How much more do we need to live with purpose? To live with the purposes of what God is doing in our church community, in our hearts, in our world. I want to live my life with purpose, to help people connect with Jesus. And we as a church need to live our lives with purpose to help people find Jesus, to seek Him, to follow after His ways, because that's what Jesus tells us to do. That's what Jesus asks of us, to help connect people with God, to live our lives out with purpose, to follow God with our whole being. And that's hard, because when you live lives of purpose, when you live your life with purpose, sometimes it means you don't get to do some things. You have to choose A instead of B. You can't do all the things that maybe even you want to, because they don't line up with your end goal. They don't line up with what your purpose is. Jesus could have come into Jerusalem on this massive white stallion, showing everyone how awesome He truly was, how amazing He was. He could have done that parade and more people would have flocked to Him than seeing the Roman soldiers, and He could have done that, but that was not what His purpose was. He didn't come to win a popularity contest. He came to save us all. He lived with purpose, and we can be a church with purpose. That in whatever we do, from gathering candy for Easter eggs to our singing, to even how we talk to each other out in the lobby, we can be a church with purpose. And we want that purpose to be connecting to God, to others, and to our mission. And so in whatever you do this week, I want to remind you, I want to encourage you, implore you, any other words I can say, but I want to just invite you, live your life full of purpose. May that purpose be for what God invites you to. Let's pray together and let's ask God to help us do that. God, You invite us to live lives of purpose. And we see this as an example of what You Yourself did, that Jesus, You lived a life full of purpose. Even how You entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, You entered it with purpose. We want to be like that. We want to be people that follow you and that live out your will and your purpose for us. We recognize that each one of us play a unique role, that you don't tell every single one of us to do exactly the same thing because we are all different parts of the body, but our end purpose, our end goal is the same, and that is honoring you, following after your ways, and helping other people come to know you, Lord. So in whatever we do, in whatever we say this week, we ask and we pray that whether we are in the wilderness or whether we are in the heart of the city, that you would help us live lives of purpose, that we would keep what you want in the forefront of our minds, that you would help us whether we are training for something, whether we are resting for something, whether we are actively engaged in what you want us to do, that we would do it all for you, that we would live lives of purpose, that whether it is something from interacting with the cashier at the grocery store or whether it is sharing the gospel full on with our friends, that we would live lives of purpose. And those purposes, that purpose would not be oriented towards ourselves, but it would be oriented towards you because you are our purpose. You saved us, even when we didn't deserve it. And you are our purpose, Lord. May we follow you with a purpose. We ask and pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. I've got a couple announcements before we head out for today. Men's coffee, we're going to be meeting back at McDonald's next week. So if you engage with men's coffee on Wednesday, I want to give you a heads up there. ShareFest, we have 20 people signed up already. So if you would like to make it number 21, 22, 27, please, I think this is the last week. Today is the last day you can sign up, actually. So if you want to participate in ShareFest, out in the lobby, there are some things there. You can just fill out a card, and Christy will get everything entered in, and you can serve at ShareFest. That's April 30th at McEachran Elementary School is where we're going to be serving. So if you'd like to participate there, you can. This week, we've got a couple of things. We're going into Easter, and we are celebrating Maundy Thursday on Thursday. So if you haven't participated in that, that is communion and foot washing. You are not obligated to participate in the foot washing if that makes you uncomfortable, but you are welcome to come. Jesse Hart is going to be leading that service as our Cornerstone intern. So if you would like to hear from Jesse, see what she is sensing God doing and how we can connect with the Maundy Thursday service, come this Thursday at 6:30 p.m. We are also having an early Easter service out on the lawn. It won't be at sunrise. It'll be at 9 a.m. out on the lawn there. We'll have seats out there. Though if you wanted to bring some of your camping chairs, you are welcome to, but we'll have enough seats out there for everyone. We will move inside at around 9:30, and we will have an Easter brunch. So if you would like to participate in that, I know Mona's also got a sign-up sheet out there in the back. You can sign up to bring things. If you are unable to sign up today, but you know you would just want to bring something, come anyways. Bring a breakfast item if you can, and come enjoy and celebrate. This is a good church tradition that we are finally getting back to after a few years away. So we will be having that, and then we'll be doing the Easter worship service. Demetris is not here today. I think she is down around the MCC sale area, is my guess. But she wanted us to thank you all for supporting the preschool and purchasing the Poppin' Mini Donuts. And then the last thing I want to mention for our announcements, the MCC and Church World Service are meeting from 1 to 2 on Tuesday, April 12th to learn about refugee resettlement in the U.S., challenges and opportunities that people encounter when they are refugees, and how we as a church can be a blessing and a help. So if you want to connect with MCC and Church World Service, you can email the office for a registration link. Pat, you had something to add. A picnic cloth we tied that our church ladies tied together brought $275 at the MCC sale. Praise God. It goes to a good place, right? MCC raised $600,000 at the sale this week, tentatively. We will pray for even more to come in now. So, they are a good group that does good things. One last thing I want to mention. You see, my cycling computer is beeping at me. It's reminding me to drink water. It does that too. Anyways, the last thing I wanted to mention. You see in your bulletins or your little handouts, that there is some financial updates from our church community. I want to just express to you that we are grateful for everything you do to support our community, whether it is through financial gifts, whether it is through volunteering, leading worship, helping with our kids. There are many, many ways to support our community. We've had some good times lately. We baptized a bunch of people a couple of weeks ago. We gained some new members. We're going to be baptizing a couple of more people in the coming weeks. If you want to participate in that, one of the ways you can participate is by giving financially. So if you have questions about where our church is at, I know you can talk to people on the admin team, but I just want to encourage you. Our church is doing some great and wonderful things and would be honored if you wanted to partner with us financially. Let me pray. And we're going to close our service asking God to help us be with purpose. God, our faith and our trust is you. Help us live lives with purpose. Help us be with you. Give us a sense of connection to you. And help us live out your purposes this week. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Go live lives of purpose. Be blessed. Happy Palm Sunday. Take care and go in peace.